The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ. Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you are doing great today. Are you getting a little over the top with politics? Well, they are everywhere. Politics seems to really be permeating into our culture in such a big way. And, you know, certainly it's going to stay that way for a little bit because they are all around us. And, you know, an interesting thing that everybody does seem so partisan divided. There seems to be such animosity with politics. If you have a side, you want to stick to that side and you're angry at the person on the other side. I see this in my personal life. I see it in business. I see people everywhere. They have their point. They're going to stick to their point and they don't like you if you don't agree with them. And I'm not sure that was always the case. I mean, what happened to agreeing to disagree and having great conversations? Well, that is obviously what we are going to talk today. I have in front of me a terrific book called Splitting America, How Politicians, Super PACs, and the News Media Mirror High Conflict Divorce. Interesting analogy here, a really interesting book. And Splitting America, it is not just a word splitting that the authors, Bill Eddy and Don Sapochnik, are using. It actually is a term, a psychological term. And I want to welcome Dr. Don Sapochnik to Shannon's Corner. Hi, how are you today?
Hi, Shannon. I'm fine. Thanks for having me on here.
I hope I said your name correctly. Is it Sapochnik?
Okay.
Great. And you are a therapist. You are a family therapist, right?
I'm a clinical child psychologist, family therapist, and family mediator, mediating custody disputes between parents going through divorce.
And you draw this correlation between going through divorce and politics. Now, that seems on the surface of it a little confusing, but boy, when you read your book, it sure makes a lot of sense. First, tell us what splitting is, because this is not just a word you chose because it sounds good. It actually has a term that you use in divorce and mediating it. And how do we apply it to politics and what does it mean?
Yeah, so the word splitting we chose because it really has a double meaning. One meaning is the splitting between the Republicans and Democrats in politics, and in a psychological sense, it means the turning people into all good or all bad, the polarization of people, which I think is a process that happens both in politics and certainly it happens in high conflict divorces all the time. So Bill Eddy and I had gotten together to share our insight, which was the striking similarities between what we've experienced in over 30 years each of dealing with high conflict divorces and what's going on in the current high polarizing politic arena, particularly escalating with this presidential election, but also present in congressional happenings as well. Arlen Specter, who just died yesterday, was one of the congresspeople who warned about the increasing polarization that he said he had never seen in his entire career, which has been substantiated by political scientists finding that Congress is more polarized at any point since the Reconstruction. So it's really different now qualitatively, and we're very concerned because we know that in high-conflict divorces, while about 60% for the first two or three years after a divorce are high-conflict, after about 10 or 20 years, a full 22% of those couples continue in high conflict, polarizing the parents into all good and all bad, and capturing the kids in the middle, putting them in the middle of these horrible, horrible fights. And we're concerned that this is exactly what's happening to the voters. We make the parallel of the children of high conflict divorce as the voters in high conflict politics, both getting sucked into this maelstrom of horrible rhetoric, hostile rhetoric. We have personal attacks, talk of dramatic catastrophizing, things that are going to happen, which create fear and hatred. And their offerings are all or none solution. Either I take the kids or you take the kids. Either I get the the voters or you get the voters, and you do it my way or your way, but there's no compromising.
It's an interesting analogy because we've all known somebody who's gotten divorced and had what you could call a high conflict divorce where they really dislike the other person and they dislike the kids even liking the other person even a little bit. I mean, just mentioning the mother or father's name causes the parent to go, you know, crazy. And this is exactly what's happening in politics. I see it. We all see it. That when you start to say to someone, let's say just for sake of argument, you're a Democrat and you're talking with someone who's a Republican and you start to talk about your point of view and your candidate, they go crazy. They are actually angry. I mean, I'm sure many marriages split up because of this, but certainly it does mirror that. And you're saying that we, the voters, are the children that are basically torn. So why is this happening? I mean, do you blame just the sign of the times with all the social media, with maybe too much media? Do you think the media is actually to blame? I know you mentioned the super PACs. What do they have to do with it?
Well, the super PACs are parallel to the extended family. In the divorce arena, we have this phenomenon called tribal warfare, which happens in high-conflict divorces when there's a dividing up of friends and families onto sides, and the sides won't speak with each other. The mom takes her side, all her friends and family. Dad takes his sides, all his friends and families. And often those extended families are fueling the fight because they're supporting court cases. They're supporting all the funding of lawyers and witnesses and everything. And we see the super PACs as doing the same thing for the candidates, picking sides, polarizing, and then fueling massive amounts of money into the fight. Mm. And it's really a fight using negative advocates in divorce and using all the negative attack ads in politics, which just simply keeps fueling the fight. Because, as you said, a cognitive dissonance happens, which means you can't keep two opposing views in mind at the same time for very long without resolving that dissonance, meaning you have to pick a side.
Right.
Kids are frequently caught in their divorced parent situation of picking a parent and getting rid of the other parent, being alienated from the other parent. One of the chapters we have in our book is Alienated Children, Alienated Voters, trying to show that same parallel happens where voters have to pick a side and then only listen to news that supports their side and ignores the other and puts down the other and badmouths them. And when the kids lose a parent, they lose half of themselves. And I think when voters lose one of the parties, they lose the balancing that potentially could take place from input from the other side. So when moderates used to be running our country, everybody talked with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we point out in the book is how Congress used to have lunch together in the lunch, and now they won't eat together. And one of them said, I feel embarrassed if I go into the lunchroom when those other people are there because I then have to justify doing that to the rest of my party members. And it's hard to do. And that's where they used to work out deals and, you know, negotiate stuff at lunch. Like one congressperson said, it's hard to be angry at somebody that you just had lunch with.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, sometimes I see it after the last debate when Romney and Obama kind of shook hands. I thought, oh, that's really good. They're really not that angry. But, you know, that's one of those rare moments that you think maybe they're all not that angry. They're just, you know, putting out their sides. You know, you mentioned children, and it's very interesting. When you have little kids and they get a little older, old enough to understand politics, and they're 8, 10, maybe in their early teens or even throughout their teens, if one of the parents or both of the parents believes a certain view, let's say Republican, they teach them that they have to be that way. And so the children never learn both sides. So this is the same thing that's happening, I think, whether they're not going through a divorce, but they're very adamant that their side is right, as opposed to just allowing them to look at what politics is all about and choose a side based on maybe what they feel. So,
and that's exactly what happens in divorces as well, where kids will be forced to only listen to one parent's growing up messages and ignore the others. In fact, see the other as bad. And what happens over time, you're pointing out an interesting phenomenon. There are these things called mirror neurons that we've discovered in the brain, which allows us to look at an event or hear an event, have any exposure to it, and imagine ourselves going through the same thing. the same feelings, the same thoughts. So there's this contagious effect that as kids are experiencing the high-conflict politics, just as in their high-conflict parents' divorce, they're absorbing the hostility. They're absorbing the polarization.
Right.
They're absorbing the message, you can only have one side of this, and you have to give up the other side.
So dangerous. And so I would imagine so guilt-ridden, divorce, and also in politics. If you're growing up in a household that believes one way and you go off to college and you start to see it another way, you're going to feel very guilty. As opposed to just learning more, there's a sense that you're betraying your parents, going against how they feel. You know, if you come from a Republican household, you should be Republican, but maybe you aren't, you know. And often we don't give our children that much respect to make up their own minds, as we don't in divorce. You know, we don't allow them. I have a friend that's going through what you would call a high conflict divorce, and just the mention of the children's father sends her into a tizzy, and then the kids just don't want to talk to about anyone. I mean, they don't want to see they don't want to see either parent is really what happens.
And then they learn to keep secrets the rest of their life because it's dangerous to tell one parent about the fun time you had at the other parent's house.
Yeah.
I've interviewed probably about 9,000 or 10,000 children of divorce and always asked them, if you could have any three wishes come true, what would you wish for? And every single one of them, to the child, has said, my first wish would be to have mom and dad back together.
Yeah.
If I can't have that, I wish they wouldn't fight and they just get along with each other and make decisions together and not let some judge in a black robe make decisions about my life.
Mm.
But that's what would show that they love me. We see the parallel in politics when voters are getting so alienated from the whole process and feeling betrayed, even by their own candidates, because they're not moderating things and letting the voters settle down and get on to business, that they're feeling alienated. And we're concerned that if that 22% of high conflict divorces continue, then maybe we're going to lose a lot of voters.
Well, that's true. That's an interesting point. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that point. We're going to talk about what you can do and how this really happens. We are talking with Dr. Don Sapochnik and his new book, which is a terrific book, Splitting America. And we'll be right back here on WTBQ in just a few.
Don't Miss Falling, now playing at the Minetta Lane Theatre. Written by Deanna Gent and directed by Laurie Adams, Falling boldly explores the dynamic and complicated reality of a family with an autistic young man. When a relative comes to visit, the entire family is thrown out of equilibrium, with everyone trying to balance what is best for the family and what is best for them. The play bravely speaks the truth about love and family and about hopes and dreams. It asks, how do you love someone who is difficult to love? Starring Daniel Everidge, Celia Howard, Daniel Pierce, J.C. Powers, and Julia Murney. Get your tickets today. Visit fallingplay.com or call 800-982-2787 or visit the Minetta Lane Theatre box office, located one block south of West 3rd Street, just off 6th Avenue. Visit fallingplay.com. Don't miss Falling, now playing at the Minetta Lane Theatre.
Turn the pages back to another time at Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop. Enter and you'll feel the comforting environment of what bookstores once were. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop is a place to come browse, feel, smell, and simply enjoy a good book. In the presence of a wealth of knowledge and stories, you're warmly invited to open the books that will transport you to other worlds and times. At Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, you'll find everything from new releases to rare old books. Whether you're looking for fiction or nonfiction, it's all there at Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, 31 Main Street in the heart of the Village of Warwick. Call 544-7183. And remember, that great book you just read on your Kindle, you can't pass it along to family or a good friend. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, where pages really do turn.
Where can you find a pharmacy that's capable of handling the healthcare needs of everyone in your family, including your pets? Apple Valley Pharmacy. They specialize in custom compounding, preparing medicines to suit your special needs. Owner and pharmacist Anne Clotier offers veterinary compounding too. You'll also find homeopathic remedies, vitamins, and dietary supplements. It's Apple Valley Pharmacy for Yankee Candles, school supplies, greeting cards, Kodak photo processing, Burt's Bees personal care items, Russell Stover candies, and healthy snacks, too. Open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. till 7 p.m. and Saturdays till 5. Call 988-5805 or click on applevalleypharmacy.com. Apple Valley Pharmacy with 24-hour emergency prescription services. A family-friendly pharmacy that delivers free to all the hamlets of Warwick. Apple Valley Pharmacy in the Merchant Square Mall in Warwick.
Clark Howard, missing a minute can cost you big time.
He has helped me make the best decisions.
I like to find out about all the internet deals and scams.
Clark Howard.
Weekdays from 2 to 4, WTBQ.
Your new community webpage is WTBQ.com. Log on to our new improved website for updated news and weather. Find out what's going on in your area on www.WTBQ.com.
WTBQ. Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and don't go anywhere. We are talking today a little bit about politics and a lot about America and what's happening to us. I'm talking with Dr. Dawn Sapochnik, who's a clinical child psychologist and a mediator, family therapist and a family mediator. And he, along with his co-writer, William Eddy, have written this book called Splitting America, How Politicians, Super PACs, and the News Media Mirror High Conflict Divorce. It is a very interesting analogy about divorce and how high conflict divorce can be so damaging to children and to families, and that politics are often the same way, that we attack each other now with our politics, and we feel that we need to stand up on this certain particular soapbox and get angry at everyone, and that there's no middle of the road. And that's often what happens, is there's this splitting that happens between families, certainly happens in between the different parties, and happens, I think, with each other if you stand at different places. So what happens when you have these personal attacks? Because that's often what happens. You have a conversation with someone and it's a personal attack, or you feel that if you watch TV, it's a personal attack. If you're watching a particular channel that's framing the news and the way you like it, if you're watching Fox News or MSNBC and you feel a personal attack, why do we take this so personally, and how do we deal with it on a personal basis when talking to someone?
So we have, in the end of our book, we have recommendations for individuals, for politicians, and for society. And the reason that we take this so personally is because we've been forced to be polarized. Very much like when a child is told bad things about their father, whenever they feel something good about their father, they feel guilty about it. And when dad says something bad about mother, the child will defend themselves because they've had to take a side. In politics, because of this polarization, this process happened so long that we take everything said as we've encompassed our political party so thoroughly that we take it as a very personal kind of message. The need to calm the hostile rhetoric was mentioned recently by Senator Bob Casey from Pennsylvania, who said that we have to work at becoming moderate again. Each individual member of Congress has to take a personal responsibility. He has to keep the poison out of the water to avoid the kind of demonization that happens when people debate issues. And I think that's an important point. It's no longer debates. It's now attack events.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's supported by the news media, who have a 24/7 news cycle. They have to report stuff, and conflict sells. And we're so used to having conflict that anything less than that seems boring, not only for kids who see things exploding all the time on their PDFs and laptops and everything, and they're used to having a whole lot of action. And I think the American public has gotten swallowed up into that as well, and we can't tolerate calm very long without having to stir up something. Also, we focused on eliminating people instead of solving problems.
Mm.
Part of that polarization is we don't focus on the issues. We focus on the candidate, his personality, his religion, whatever, and we look at those as the important variables, but it's not going to help us solve problems. We've got to always keep the bigger picture in mind. Just like parents, if they're spending all their time hating the other parent more than they're loving their child, they're not building a co-parenting relationship for the long run. They're trying to solve an immediate problem of their own anger at eliminating the other parent, just like the politicians do. But I think ultimately we have to think long-term, that we have to develop long-term relationships, as Congress have to do, to work together. But if we wind up eliminating and bad-mouthing each of the people along the way, we're not going to have any relationships and nothing's going to get done in this nation.
Well, what do we do in a personal situation? We only have about 4 or 5 minutes left, and I know you have some great advice here, what can be done. Because we often see it, it's not just myself, but I'm sure many people see it in families, where there's different points of view politically, and it becomes, I recently talked to a family member who said they won't drive in a car with another family member because they're on the different side of the aisle, you know, and I said, well, it's just politics, and they would, no, they disagree with me. I mean, I can't have anybody disagree with my politics. All we do is fight. So it just turns out to be, you know, that sort of thing that happens. So how can you go, let's say, to a family dinner or deal with a spouse that disagrees with you or just a coworker? How do we deal with that without attacking the other person or feeling like we are attacked?
So in family mediation, we learned that we can help couples come to agreements by listening carefully, by showing respect, by giving attention to their points of view, even if we disagree. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like what you said before, we've forgotten how to agree to disagree.
Right.
That you can be respectful. Ultimately, it's about respect and showing some empathy for people. And if you do that, they tend not to go off on you. It's when you fire back a salvo
right.
back the same way, that's when the thing escalates. So de-escalating is not getting hooked on the emotions behind it, not getting hooked on the catastrophizing. But listening respectfully, see, I hear your point of view. It sounds interesting, and it's different from my point of view. If you'd like to know my point of view, I'd be willing to share it. But if not, let's have some turkey together.
Right. Okay, good point, because it really does. You know, you're right. If you respect the other person's point of view, then they're most likely going to come back and respect yours and not take it so personal. But politics has become, as you say and really point out in this book, extremely personal. And I think, and we don't have time to get into this, but I'm sure religion is wrapped up in there somehow, too. You know, that they get all confused somehow, and they think that, you know, you're going against me, and, you know, kids feel they're going against their parents, and, you know, it gets very complicated. But we should all vote, and we should all have our own mind made up of what we want to do, and maybe not necessarily made up, but we certainly should make up our own mind and not have to listen to someone else's point of view and feel guilty about it. So I think it's very important, like you say, in a divorce, that you should be able to love your two parents equally and for the reasons you love them, and the same with choosing what you want to do with your political party and who you want to vote for, right?
At the end of our book, we have a high conflict politician scorecard, mm-hmm. a one sheet page that you could take into the voting booth and rate the candidates based on how much high conflict they're going to stir up. Things like, traits like, do they give personal attacks? Do they create crisis emotions? Do they have all or none solutions? Do they lack empathy? Do they see themselves as the hero who's going to come in and save them from the catastrophe that they just created in our minds to make us afraid, so we'll vote for them? Those are the kinds of things that escalate high conflict politics, and I think we need to be mindful of on a personal level and certainly on a political level.
Right. Well, I think you've done a great book and a great service for everyone. This is a really fascinating book and certainly a good read, so I suggest everyone go get it. Again, it is Splitting America, How Politicians, Super PACs, and the News Media Mirror High Conflict Divorce. Dr. Don Spasnik, I'm sorry again. Thank you so much for joining us. It is a terrific book. You've done a great job. Anyone, if you're in the car and you can't get to the computer right now, don't worry. Everything is on Shannon's Corner, which you can get through WTBQ. Again, I thank you so much for joining me today. Great book.
Thanks
terrific.
So
thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Again, it is Splitting America. Terrific book about how we have become so angry and attacking in politics. We do have to wrap it up for today, but thank you for joining us here. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.